Well, Abraham Lincoln wrote in 1862 about the conflict between the Union and the Confederacy over slavery. Quote, "In great contests, each party claims to act in accordance with the will of God. Both may be, and one must be wrong. God cannot be for and against the same thing at the same time." In his second inaugural address in 1865, Lincoln had not changed his mind. Quote, "Both North and South read the same Bible and pray to the same God, and each invokes his aid against the other. The prayers of both could not be answered. That of neither has been answered fully. The Almighty has his own purposes." When a preacher wondered if God was on the side of the Union rather than the side of the Confederacy, Lincoln famously replied summarily that the question was not whether or not God was on our side, but if we were on his. Now, historians still debate about the influence of Lincoln's Christianity, but I think he was at least right there. We still ask those same questions. Would Jesus join the Tea Party? What does he think about income taxes and government loyalty? Is he an anarchist? All government is bad and should be resisted. Is he a theocrat? Society should be ruled by religious law and devotion mediated by the authority of the church. Where does Jesus stand politically? Is he conservative? Is he liberal? Is he progressive? Is he independent? Is he libertarian? Would he plug in his car? Would he gas it up? Or would he ride a bike? Whose side is Jesus on anyway? Mine or yours? Ours or theirs? We read this morning about an occasion where Jesus was confronted about whose side he was on politically. Before getting there, let me set the stage again. We're in what is commonly known as Passion Week, the last week of Jesus' life before his death. During that week, he spent most of his time in and around the temple in Jerusalem. The temple, as you know, was the centerpiece of Judaism. But it had become corrupt like all the temples before it had. And Jesus spent considerable time during this week promising its destruction. In fact, Mark spends 11 through 13, three chapters, on this time of Jesus announcing the destruction of the temple. The old covenant age, marked by brick and mortar temples and priests and sacrifices, that was coming to an end, and the new covenant age was dawning. The temple was ruled by the Sanhedrin, which was a group of 71 men from various groups within Judaic life, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. Though this is far from parallel, we might think of our governing body made up of Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. Just three groups of people, distinct, sometimes believing very different things, who came together to govern the life and worship of Israel. And Jesus had been in and out of the temple, ruffling the feathers of this Sanhedrin. He's overturned tables already back in chapter 11, verse 15. He's ran folks out of the temple. He's outwitted them in debate, end of chapter 11. He publicly shamed them, we saw last week, with a parable about their wickedness. And the Sanhedrin could not, to this point, lay a glove on Jesus. They wanted to turn the public opinion against him. But every time they tried to do that, it wound up being them being threatened, or their status inviting a public riot. It wound up being a condemnation against them. And so they go back to the strategy room, and they come up with this strategy that rather than trying to bum rush Jesus as they had before, they thought, well, let's try to use our groups against him. So each group would attempt to outwit Jesus in some sort of contradiction about what he is teaching. Now, as we see this morning, the first group that's up are the Pharisees. They're up at bat. The Sadducees are on deck, and the scribes are going to be in a couple of weeks. So each group is now, with their little issues, are going to come and try to trap Jesus with their pet issues. They would try to trap Jesus in a political riddle, the Pharisees do. The Sadducees, we'll see next week, try to trap Jesus in a theological question. And then the scribes come along behind them, trying to discredit Jesus on his biblical knowledge. Now, between these three fronts, political, theological, and biblical, the Sanhedrin was confident they could discredit Jesus and win back the public support of their administration. But first things first, Mark 12. You can stand. We're going to read Mark 12, verses 13 to 17. Mark 12, 13 through 17. "Then they," this is the Sanhedrin as the collective, "sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to him in order to trap him in a statement. they came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are truthful and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay a poll tax to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay?" But he, Jesus, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, "Why are you testing me? Bring me a denarius to look at." And they brought one, and he said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "Caesar's." Verse 17, and Jesus said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were amazed at him. Let's pray. Father, we would ask your gracious help this morning. I particularly pray for an unusual amount of grace to talk about some hard things, and so we would pray to be very receptive to your word.